Hey, are you hungry? Well, you're in luck. Meat and Three is back for season 16. I'm Taylor Early, and we've got a whole new batch of reporters I am so excited to introduce you to.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Fisher.
Asha McElroy.
Sam Girardi.
Jessica Gingrich.
Hannah from Wisconsin.
I'm a swing dancing audio engineer.
I am a future registered dietitian nutritionist.
I'm from New York, and I love rice and beans.
My favorite food of all time is a shrimp burrito.
I love watermelon.
We've also got a bonus podcast for you called Behind the Internship. Three of our reporters will take you along to show how they develop stories for this very show, Meat and Three.
Hi, I'm Danielle Flitter, a plant-based chef from Philadelphia, living in Mexico City.
I'm Sophia Hooper. I'm a bartender based in Portland, Maine.
My name is Addison Austin Liu. I am a chef and food journalist from Salt Lake City, Utah, and my favorite food is Peruvian.
Rice and beans.
Hand-drawn noodle soup.
So tune in to enjoy a square meal for your ears. And I hope you saved a little room for dessert.
This episode is brought to you by PASA Sustainable Agriculture. Register to attend PASA's 31st annual conference by January 28th at pasafarming.org/conference.
Hello, welcome to Japan Eats. I'm your host, Akiko Tema, food writer and director of the New York Japanese Culinary Academy, which promotes a deep understanding of Japanese cuisine in America. We are broadcasting live from Brooklyn, New York. This show is all about Japanese food and food culture. We see sushi at every deli in the supermarket, but what is beyond sushi? We hear dashi ramen izakaya, but what exactly are they? Japanese food is still a mystery for many people, and I try to demystify it in this program with my cool guests. And my guest today is Mathieu Gelpion, the marketing manager and the brand ambassador of Nami, the first sake brewery in Mexico. Japanese sake has been produced outside Japan in recent years, and it is very exciting to see that there is a sake brewery in Mexico, which is the home of excellent beer and spirits such as tequila and mezcal. Nami is not just the first sake brewery in Mexico. Their products have proved to be outstanding. For example, the International Sake Challenge, which is an annual event held in Tokyo to recognize the best sakes in the world, has awarded the gold, silver, and bronze prizes to Nami Sake. So today we'll discuss how Nami was born, how an old Mexican team found a mentor to make premium sake in Mexico, the unique terroir of Mexico, and how to pair sake with Mexican flavors, and much, much more. But quickly before we start, Japan Eats is available on the Heritage Radio Network website, as well as on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify as a podcast. So please go to iTunes, Stitcher, or Spotify, whichever you listen to, and subscribe to Japan Eats. And please write a review. We really appreciate your feedback. Now, let's start a conversation with Mathieu Gelpion. Hello, Mathieu. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Akiko. How are you?
Very good. Very good. So, just to get to know you first, where are you from and what did you eat when you grew up?
Well, I'm from France. I born in Paris, but I grew up in Normandy. And my father's gave me the habit of cooking, eating, and enjoying food. Mainly French food, I have to recognize, but also Italian, Thai, Chinese, African cuisine. It becomes like a daily ritual for me from very early, Akiko. So it's very important in my family. And imagine that each dinner we get together. I have two sisters and one brother, but we spend at least 2 hours at the table. So and it's very interesting because one day my father had decided to sell our summer house, but in exchange, he offered us to go to a restaurant every Saturday. As a result, my brother becomes a chef. Yes, wow. my brother is a chef, and I become a sommelier.
That's a perfect French family story. And yes. Now you're in Mexico. That makes it even more interesting. Right. And so before you joined Nami, you had built an impressive career in the beverage industry. So could you tell us about your previous jobs and why you became marketing manager and brand ambassador?
Yes, of course. Look, I studied in the Bordeaux Business School with the opportunity to have a university change with a Mexican school. So I decided to stay after the time exchange. And the truth is that I fell in love with a Mexican girl. So she is my current wife. And yes, it's a nice adventure. But at first, I worked as a sommelier in different restaurants on wine bars in Mexico City. Wine wasn't a very common drink for Mexican people 20 years ago. Drinking wine was like a new trend for consumers, and they wanted to know more about it. So I became a brand ambassador for different wine brands from Chile, Spain, California as well. Never French wines. I don't know why, but...
That's interesting.
Yes. At that moment, Mexican wine industry grew up, and I became the brand ambassador for a Mexican winery in Baja California. I really enjoy being part of the Mexican wine transformation to a better quality, because we can say that nowadays Mexican wine have grew up a lot, and the quality is quite better. So after this period, after this season into the wine industry, I decided to go to work into the Scotch industry, the Scotch whiskey industry with the giant Diageo and its iconic brand, Johnnie Walker. And for 10 years, I learned everything about whiskey.
Wow.
And I take a strong decision. Last year, I decided to change my job because I want to expand my horizons and keep learning about the drink category.
Mm-hmm. Right. So far you covered wine and whiskey and now sake.
Yes.
So you probably covering the most palate experience you can think of. Right.
Yes.
Right. So so could you tell us how the concept of NAMI was born and who the founders are?
It's very interesting because the concept comes with some Mexican entrepreneurs from their passion for Japanese culture and the commitment to change the narrative of Culiacan Sinaloa around the world. You know that in Culiacan we have a lot of bad notice, so it's very interesting how they could change the narrative, and they saw that sake doesn't have an appellation of origin, so they saw a great opportunity to be the first and only one to produce Mexican sake and demonstrate the high quality of Mexican craftsmanship. And to be honest, the founders have always shown a low profile because they want the hero of the story always be NAMI on the sake on the region of Culiacan, Sinaloa.
Yeah, I noticed that. I did a lot of research and I couldn't find the names, only Alberto and Santiago. That's the only thing I heard.
Yes.
So I really respect. That's kind of a Japanese style. You know, you stay quiet and then you show the products and people will come. That's kind of very Japanese
mindset.
Right. Okay. And so you know, but they, you know, 100% Mexican team decided.
Yes.
So do you know what the inspirations were? And they decided to make sake brewery, not wine or not anything else. Do you know why they decided to go into sake?
Yes, it's about the passion for Japanese culture and the Japanese gastronomy. They're really... are fascinated by the Japanese tradition, the craftsmanship you have, and the tradition you can find in the Japanese society. So they felt in love with Japanese tradition, and that's why they decide to go to the to the sake category. And I think they discovered that sake is a great drink to pair with food. Not only Japanese food, but I think I know them, and I know that they really love food, every kind of food, not only Japanese. Indeed, they like Mexican food, and it's incredible how sake really enhances the flavors you can have in any kind of food. No? Great variety of dishes, yes.
Right, by hearing your words, you know, you're a really cheap sommelier and whiskey expert. I mean, it's convincing.
Yes.
Sake is very versatile. So you just mentioned that, you know, that it's the Nami is located in Culiacan,
yes,
which is northwestern Mexico. So where exactly, what kind of, where is in Mexico the Nami is? Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, the brewery is located at the heart of the city of Culiacan in the Sinaloa state. You can come to visit us very, very easily. You're welcome. Everybody can visit our brewery, and it's downtown in the city. So it's like an old house, and we do everything there.
Right. So the largest city is Sinaloa.
Sinaloa,
and then it's northern western Mexico. So is that the high elevation or low elevation? Or I mean, does Mexico is very diverse, right, geographically?
Yes, I think the most important of the state is the culture of sea gastronomy. You have the sea of the Pacific Ocean at 1 hour of the city of Culiacan. So a lot of people who live in Culiacan go during the weekend at the sea, and they love to eat seafood.
Mm.
So I think it's very interesting to visit Culiacan for this.
Right. So, okay, and so Nami means wave in Japanese, right? So what's the origin of the name Nami for the brewery?
The wave is the perfect symbol of the blend of two different cultures from each side of the Pacific Ocean, the Japanese and the Mexican. Nami is a sake that respects the Japanese traditional craft with Mexican hearts. It's like our philosophy.
Right. And I heard, this is interesting, that you brewers have closely worked with the brewmaster of a traditional Japanese sake brewery in Japan. So how did they find him, and what is his role at Nami?
It's very interesting. It was quite a long way to find the right partner to help us to reach our goal of crafting sake in Mexico, far away from Japan. So after an exhaustive search, we found Mr. Munetaka Nakashima. He is the commercial and expansion leader of Nakashima Sake Brewery. It's a small family. It's a small family sake shop with more than 300 years of history in the Gifu Prefecture of Japan. Mr. Munetaka became our mentor in the art of the traditional sake process, and he helped the selection of purchase of the equipment of machinery from Japan that we currently own. So without Munetaka, sake won't exist. It's very important. And he also helped contact Japanese Toji, sake master Yamada-san, who helped us define Nami's profile and personality. But with paint, 2 years in total before we bottle our first bottle of sake. Mm. So yes, it was quite difficult, but we did it.
Right. Well, that's amazing, right? Because the founders Alberto and Santiago, they decided they have to really go to the source of the traditional knowledge. So it's just, but how? I know the extensive search sounds like a hard, but how? Like you just looked up, like Googled, or I don't know. How did they exactly find that one person, Mr. Munetaka, in Gifu Prefecture? That's kind of sounds very random.
Yes, it was a long search because I can say that very few Japanese really believe in the project. So we have to go to Japan. We had to go to Japan to explain the project and find one only person that that believed in the project. But I can say that 12, 30 brewers in Japan didn't answer to our request before Señor Munetaka.
Mm. Wow, that's amazing. So sounds like you did research, maybe Google, and then you actually contacted one by one to find the person to agree to work with you. So
something like that, yes.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, I think, Japanese sake breweries have a lot of issues, right? Because the industry itself is declining. But yeah, it's a really admire Mr. Munetaka, how open-minded he is. Okay, so so what is the philosophy of sake production at NAMI?
Our philosophy is to blend the love for perfection and the artisan quality of Japan with the passion, warmth, and joy of the Mexican heart. I don't know if you have seen the label of the NAMI bottles, but our signature logo shows a pre-Hispanic virgule, a symbol used to represent the concept of speech and expression of ideas, which is carefully blended with the Japanese kanji for NAMI. So I think this logo shows perfectly the philosophy, you know, of the Mexican heart and the Japanese tradition.
Mm, right. They are really beautiful labels. So I will have to look into that, the kanji connected part.
Yes.
And okay. So, right. So it sounds like it's people think of Mexican, Japanese, they are not really connected. But the spirit of making quality products, like probably I would imagine like somebody really devoted their lives making perfect mezcal or tequila, that kind of mindset is in sake making at NAMI, right?
Yes, I think the craftsmanship in both culture is very strong, and you have a lot of craftsmanship in Mexican industry. You have very nice product produced by the Mexican craftsmanship. And we know that Japanese culture is about tradition, is about craftsmanship too. So we have this DNA in both culture. That's very interesting because, yes, we have 50,000 kilometers between the Mexican coast and the Japanese country, but we have the same craftsmanship philosophy. It's very interesting.
Right. And Matt, you know French craftsmanship and Scotch whiskey craftsmanship. So, and so you were saying you endorse it. So it sounds like it's really seriously real. So, all right. So we'll take a quick break here. And when we come back, we'll discuss how the unique environment of Mexico can produce NAMI's award-winning sake. So please stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by PASA Sustainable Agriculture. For 30 years, PASA's conference has served as a springboard for transformative food system change. PASA's 2022 conference features more than 30 virtual and 90 in-person sessions on farming and food systems, covering topics that include building community food webs, keeping seeds to preserve cultural traditions, protecting local watersheds, as well as production methods and business skills for food producers of all levels. Keynote speakers include Soulfire Farms' Leah Penniman, author of Farming While Black, Sarah Mock, author of Farm and Other F-Words, and Jessica Gordon Nemhard, author of Collective Courage, A History of African-American Cooperative Economic Thought and Practice. PASA's virtual pre-conference takes place January 4th through 28th. Register anytime to attend live or get recordings. You can also join PASA in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, on February 10th through 12th for its in-person main conference. Comprehensive COVID safety measures will be in place. Learn more and register at pasafarming.org/conference. That's P-A-S-A farming.org/conference.
Welcome back. You are listening to Japan Eats. I'm your host, Akiko Tema, and my guest today is Matthew Gilpion, the marketing manager and brand ambassador of NAMI, the first sake brewery in Mexico. So how do you describe the style of NAMI's sake? Do you call it the traditional or modern or something else?
Definitely, I think it's more modern, a modern style. And I like to say that NAMI sake is easy to drink. Very aromatic and fresh with notes of tropical fruits. It's quite floral, inclusively. We especially take care of the balance of flavors. So it's not a sweet sake, it's not a dry sake, neither. And it's perfect to serve with a large variety of dishes and different flavors. And not only Japanese, Mexican cuisine is really, really incredible to pair with NAMI. So, yes, I think it's more modern than traditional.
Mm. All right. So let's get into the actual product. So so you have three types of sake, Junmai, Ginjo, and Daiginjo, which are based on how much the rice grains are milled down. So could you go through the characteristics of each sake?
Yes, all of the NAMI sake are Junmai, but we have different polishing rates between each of them. So we have the NAMI.
Right, so for listeners who are not familiar with it, just Junmai means just pure, the ingredients are just rice and water and koji and then some yeast and other things without added alcohol, which
correct.
Is sometimes yes. Added to kind of for different reasons, like might make it milder or different reasons. So some whole another episode, but all right. So Junmai is really interesting to enjoy the pure taste of rice itself. All right, so sorry, I interrupted you.
No, that's perfect. So we have the first label is NAMI Junmai, and it's 55%. Of rice polishing. It's quite sweeter than the other ones and easy to identify for its very fruity notes like apple and pear, I think. I like very much its full body richness and it has a long aftertaste. So the first and less rice polishing we have in the family, in the NAMI family, no? It's a 55%. After that, we have the NAMI Junmai Ginjo with 50% of polishing rate. It's more about tropical notes. I find it more exotic, maybe, with peach and pineapple. And the acidity is more apparent in our Namito Mai Jinjo. It's more apparent along with lactic and cereal long finish. And then, finally, we had the Nami Dai Jinjo. It is the more complex of the family. You can find white flowers, for example, at the first noise. I have found fennel and anise aroma, fruitiness, and a very, very elegant aftertaste. So it's more delicate, but it's complex at the same time.
Right. So the same rice, you said Junmai is 55% of grain remaining, so 45% milled down, and then Ginjo was 50%. So what's the Daiginjo milling rate?
40%.
Okay, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's very refined.
So, yes.
Wow. Okay. And so how do you describe the terroir of Clear Can? It's just very exciting. A different sake. It sounds like you have very fruit forward and brown flavors in your sake. So the Clear Can terroir must be doing something special to your sake.
Yes, and you know that for a wine and whiskey expert, the question of the terroir is interesting and very important. No? But I like to tell that story because when Yamada-san came at the first time, he didn't believe that the environment would be the right for the right growth of the koji. But surprise, our koji grew even more than in another brewery of Japan. So it's a great story because the hazard on how the things happen. However, to me, the real expression of the terroir is our people, the Mexican herbs. The secret to Nami's distinctive taste comes from the koji process, best known at the heart of the sake brewing process. It's believed that those who enter the room where the rye rests for 3 days should be in a state of peace and good mood. Right-minding intentions and speaking positive words for the rice to absorb the good energy.
Mm.
So the taste of sake is quite related to this moment of the process of the rice may absorb negative energy that might shift the outcome.
Mm.
And when it comes to Nami, it's the dedication of Mexican craftsmen who define this process by transmitting their passion and joy. You know, for me, as a French, Mexican are incredible because they are happy every time. they like to sing. They like to sunrise. It's an incredible culture, but I think it's part of the taste and the flavor of the Nami sake.
Right. So basically, Mr. Yamada, who is the brewmaster in a Japanese 300-year-old brewery's brewmaster, comes to Mexico and he teaches your brewery team, right, to actually make traditional style of sake, and then that's the culture of people who creates a happy upward ambience to make the sake happy. Is that right?
Exactly. Yamada-san is the mentor on the strengths that impulse the team, the Mexican team, the current Mexican team in Nami in Culiacán. So yes, it was a very important help for us.
I'm curious, does Yamada-san speak good English or Spanish?
English, yes.
Okay, amazing.
Yes, English, yeah.
Right. So, people say, some people say wine is made in the vineyard. When it comes to sake, I think everybody says that Toji, the brewmaster's, influences much bigger. So I really believe the ambience in the Mexican brewery really contributes to a great quality of sake. So, okay. And so how suitable is the water at Nami for sake production?
It's a great question, because so we didn't have a spring water in Culiacán, like you can find in Japan. No? So we had to find a special treat to replicate the quality we need for the best sake. We look for low mineral filler, and the only way to get the right density of our water is through two different techniques. The first one is with ozone filtration, and the other is by reverse osmosis. So not so easy, because we had to find the right way and the right water through the techniques and the technology. But I think we did it very well. And now the water we have works perfectly with the kind of sake we want to.
Right. So Mexican water tend to be hard, so have to filter it first and then use reverse osmosis technology to make it even more suitable. Sounds like a lot of work.
Yes, it was. And Yamada helped us to find this kind of water first. But yes, we did it.
Right. And then where did you get your rice? I mean, where do you get rice from? Was it hard to find the right one? Because I don't think Mexican farms grow a lot of rice in Mexico.
You're right. The rice is a very important part of the quality of the sake. So we choose to use only the best Japanese rice variety, none of the golden rice for sake producing. I'm sure you know it very well. It's Yamada Nishiki. And we get it from the Isabel farm in Minnesota. Yes, you know them.
Yeah, Isabel farm is, his family came to our show, so last year. So the Yamada Nishiki is called the king of rice. It's really totally most ideal type of rice to make the fermentation easier and then get the flavor out and all those interesting things. So, wow, a good choice from Isabel Farm. They are devoted to...
an expensive choice, but necessary to produce the best quality we want to. What is very interesting is that we are now experimenting with Yamada Nishiki and start to cultivate it at Morelos. It's a Mexican state at the south of the country, Morelos, it's a traditional geographic location for rice production. But for the first time, it was growing a Japanese sake variety. It's a great project, but we are very optimistic about the quality results. But we are not using the Mexican rice for now, but maybe soon.
Okay. So by the way, our listeners who are curious about the Isabel Farm, which makes Japanese sake rice in America, it's on episode 244. That was in November last year. This, now you make great sake, but how much is Japanese sake known among Mexican people? And what is the level of their knowledge of Japanese sake?
We have so much to do now. Mexican people still believe that sake is a hard liquor. it's true. They see it more than a spirit or distilled, more than fermented like wine. So I want to show them that you can drink sake, not only at a Japanese restaurant, no, because they believe that they drink sake only at Japanese restaurant, mainly. And they think that if they only match with food, with Japanese food, and they think that you have to serve the sake in a traditional serve, like an ochoco. You know, they drink sake as a shot. And I think we have a lot to change about the way they drink sake in Mexico. But it's a long time. It's what we want in NAMI to change about the Mexican culture of sake.
Right. Well, so right now, is it hard to find Japanese sake at the retail stores in Mexico?
Yes, it's not so easy. You have some, but it's not very common.
Right. Well, I think in America, we came a long way to find at least a couple sake brands at almost any liquor shops in New York City. But thankfully, I think the internet, Instagram, all those things promoting the knowledge of sake. So hopefully you can get to more easy place to sell sake.
I'm sure, yes.
Right. So, but actually, what is your strategy to promote understanding Japanese sake among Mexican people?
Mexican people are very curious. They like to try new way of culinary experience. We create an experience platform to enjoy sake with a wide variety of food, not only Japanese, but also Mexican food, Thai, European, etc. For example, we partner with Mexican chefs to create pairing menus with sake in their restaurants. We are very proud to be present in the best restaurant in Mexico, such as Puyol, Quintonil, Contramar, or Nikos. Maybe people that know the restaurants of the Mexico City can recognize those names, because Puyol, Quintonil are very, very good restaurants. And to the other hand, we work with influencers to showcase how is the perfect serve of NAMI. So our sake is best served chilled in a wine glass rather than in a traditional ochoco. You can find the aromatic freshness and fruitiness of NAMI in a wine glass, not in a ochoco. So that's the best way to taste NAMI, no? So that's two examples of the strategy we use to promote the sake drinking in Mexican market.
Right. Yeah, I personally agree. Wine glasses, they have more room to expand the flavor, and you can see the color and the swirl. And is this so, I think it's expanded, the richer experience. I like, like middle-sized wine glass to use sake. Yeah.
Yes.
Although there's so many beautiful sake ochoko vessels, that's a tiny little cup. But it's nice to be able to try sake with the wine glasses.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I think it's an approach, right? Because Japanese sake tend to be served at the restaurant with the ochoko, more traditional style, but you can just have a bottle of sake, you can just drink like wine every day. And once you open sake, you can still keep it much longer than wine. So it's a nice style. It's a good introductory way to enjoy sake. Just get a bottle of wine, bottle of NAMI, and keep it in the fridge. You can just, whatever you want, you can just open and enjoy like for a couple of weeks at least, I think. So anyway, so how do you, for example, what's the best pairings? Like, you know, I'm very curious how actually Mexican food, like how do you pair your junmai ginjo and a daiginjo, each one of them? If you have to pick a dish, Mexican dish for each sake, what would you recommend?
It's very interesting sake to pair with because it's less acidic and astringent profile versus wine. So it's ideal to pair with food, including flavors that are very complex to pair with wine. For example, tomatoes, not easy to pair with wine, but with sake, it's incredible. Cheese, I'm French, you know, so I love cheese. But cheese is not that easy to pair with wines. So I think it's better, inclusively, to pair cheese with sake than with wine. Maybe white wine, but with red wine, it's very difficult to pair cheese. So you can pair with seafood, vegetables. No, there are examples of it. I've worked very closely with the best chefs in Mexico, and they are very surprised about the right range of sake to harmonize with the traditional Mexican cuisine. I give you some example, chiles en nogada. I don't know if you know this very special dish. Little bit sweet, but not so chili, but with a wide range of flavors, meat, fruit, cheese. So it's complex. It's a complex dish. With chiles en nogada, it's chiles en nogada. Chiles en nogada. It's very current to eat chiles en nogada during the September, because it's a national day of for Mexican. So it's a very traditional dish, chiles en nogada. You can try to pair sake with tamales, another traditional dish for Mexican people. Of course, with ceviches. Imagine ceviches with exotic and tropical fruits like mango. It's incredible with our sake junmai. The aguachile, I think it's more the harmony with the sake junmai jinjo, or with quesadillas, with the cheese of the tortilla, within the tortilla. Very simple to make, but it's very nice with nami. So you have a wide range of dishes of Mexican traditional gastronomy to pair with nami or with sake.
Hey, it's interesting that you mentioned that it's hard to pair cheese and wine, because the wine's amazing, and I'm personally a big fan of wines, but tannins in red wine and you know, there's a specific acidity from grapes in white wine, they are pretty picky. But rice is more forgiving, right? The sake is mild flavor, really doesn't say no to almost anything. So I almost never failed pairing sake with food, because even I can pair anything with sake and food.
It's true that sake has five times more umami than wine. So, you know, the umami is a great way to enhance the flavor of the food. It's interesting. I really think, Akiko, that sake is the best liquid to pair with food.
Right. Yeah, that's a great, interesting point, because I heard umami is by itself the savory taste, but its nature has also really interesting capability to reduce the excess bitterness and acidity, also enhance sweetness and saltiness. So it's like the cheerleader of other flavors. And that's why I think sake is more forgiving in pairing food. And yes. And I'm curious, so the spiciness in Mexican food, which is really a big charm of Mexican food, does that go well with the Japanese sake?
I think it could be difficult. The spiciness when it's very hot, I think it's not the best way to pair with sake. It's better to drink a beer, maybe, or Coca-Cola. I don't know that. But, right. You know, the Mexican traditional food is not so spicy. I'm a French palate, so I can't stand the very hot, spicy food. But a lot of dishes are not so much spicy. I think the greatness of the Mexican cuisine is that it's not so so hard with the spiciness. So
I think you're right, because once one food goes out of the country, the one specific aspect can be exaggerated, like people saying Italian people are eating a lot of garlic, but that's not true. They have just slight flavor of garlic in, you know, pasta and other dishes. But when it comes to America, it's like a lot of more garlic, for example. Yeah. So Mexican food is not as spicy as I would think. And it's a good segue, though, actually, that you also produce a rice-based lager beer called the Haiku. So could you tell us about that?
Yes, Haiku is the first rice Mexican lager. It's now filtered and unpasteurized beer. It's very refreshing, medium body beer. We decided to create Haiku to keep innovating with the Japanese tradition and Mexican heart, and give another option for high-end Mexican chefs and restaurants. Chefs really love it. It's also a perfect match with Japanese food. So it's a very good alternative for people that they really don't like sake. But
I've never tried a rice lager, so hopefully I get a chance to taste it sometime. So come, export to New York.
Of course.
Right. Okay. So, what are your plans and dreams at NAMI?
The plan and the dream is to become the most recognized premium sake brewed outside Japan. We are the first Mexican traditional sake, and the philosophy is to keep innovating and promote Mexican talent all over the world. So, that the next way we want to go with NAMI. The next step is taking Osaka to the US and Japanese markets. We already have spoken with few retailers, and they are very interested to get our sake and promote it. And maybe also we are looking forward to tasting the quality of Mexican Yama Nishiki rice grown in the Morelos estate. So the next steps of the objective and the outcome we want to for NAMI.
Right. Well, sounds exciting. So, well, keep me posted. So where can we find you and NAMI's information online and on social media?
Absolutely. We have the web page, namisake.com. So you can visit the page. You have all the information you need about our sake. And you can find it in the Instagram as nami_sake and on Facebook as well.
Awesome. Great. All right. So, well, good luck, and thank you so much for joining us today, Matthew.
No, thank you to you for the interview and try the NAMI sake very soon.
Right. I hope to see you at the brewery.
Of course, you're invited when you want.
Thank you. So listeners, if you have any questions or comments about the show or suggestions for show topics or guests, please contact us at japanese@heritageradionetwork.org or at kikotaime.com. Japanese is a weekly program and always available at heritageradionetwork.org, as well as on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify as a podcast. Our engineer is Armin Spengen, and thank you for listening. I will see you next week. Japanese is powered by Simplecast. Thank you for listening to Heritage Radio Network. Food Radio supported by you. For freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a non-profit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thank you for listening.
I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.